Well, good morning. It's a privilege to be together as a body from near and far, far and wide. I'm not sure where all you're from, but it's good to be together and worship. It's good to have my dad here. Back in January, he had open heart surgery, as he said, and he has recovered amazingly well, better than I thought he would. In December, we were up at the Capitol in Harrisburg, and he couldn't hardly walk up the steps. And today, he goes to a gym 3 times a week. And doctors and are able to do amazing things with the gifts God has given them. Dave, sounds like you're bouncing back as well, so we praise the Lord. I've been thinking a lot lately about John 10:10, and I want to bring a message on the first part of that verse, and I'll bring another message on that the next time I preach. I'll break it into two messages. I like the way Jesus tells stories. He is the master storyteller, and has a way of getting people's attention and getting to the core of the matter in ways that is just amazing. That every teacher loves the power of story. In the previous part of chapter 9, the Pharisees are just upset at this man who's stirring up the pot. And, of course, the Pharisees were lifting themselves up as knowing everything and being the one that Jesus should follow. And Jesus, they were in strong opposition to Jesus and doing everything they could to silence this man. And they were upset that they were the leaders of the church and that Jesus had commissioned them as leaders and wondered why they weren't commissioning them as leaders. And that the people should stick to the Pharisees. And the backdrop of chapter 10, that's the backdrop to chapter 10. So I want to begin reading in chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice, and calleth his sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what he was saying, which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but sheep did not hear them. I am the door, for by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In this parable, you have the robbers, and you have the shepherd. So you have a shepherd who's leading his sheep, has security for his sheep, but you also know that there's robbers around that want to kill, that want to steal, kill, and destroy the sheep. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever experienced a robber. Any of you ever have a thief in your house that has stolen something from you? It's not a good feeling. How many ever had a thief steal something from you in church? This morning I stole a Bible from this young man here. He never knew it. There's your Bible. I think he probably wondered where it got to. You know, a thief is sly. I'm not a thief or a professional thief, or don't profess to be one. But you know, a thief is someone who comes and takes something that does not belong to them. In this parable, We have the robber who does not own the flock. He has no business coming into the fold. And he's out to take something that doesn't belong to him. And it's amazing the ways that the robbers operate, how they get into your house. They're clever. They're well thought out. I didn't have to work too hard. It was laying there right in front of me. I just took it. But they're very industrious in plotting what they steal and how they steal. And I was made to think, and they'll go to all kind of pains and risks to steal. And I was thinking, how are we as Christians? Are we that intentional about spreading the news of Jesus, of being the feet and hands of Jesus? Are we that intentional of planning how to spread the word of God? It's something to think about. The other part of the parable, we have the rightful owner who cares for the sheep, has authority to the sheep. He comes to them. He binds them up when they're sick, broken legs, not feeling well. He takes care of them. He cares about them. Notice he calls them by name. And Jesus is establishing in the minds of these Pharisees that he's the shepherd. And the Pharisees are the thieves, or anyone who claims to be Christ. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Notice the progression. He wants to steal, then he wants to kill, and then he wants to destroy. And here's where I want to park this morning. On the thief that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Notice the downward spiral of the plot of the thief. Now, I don't think I'm talking this morning about Bibles or computers or cars or houses or stuff in your houses or stuff in your trucks or tools. I believe that the master thief uses those things to steal from us. But what I'm talking about this morning is spiritual blessings, spiritual stuff, spiritual treasures. Things that are eternal, blessings from God, gifts from God, callings from God. That's what we want to look at this morning. For example, I believe the master thief, Satan, wants to destroy our trust in the Word of God. And I believe last week may have been an attempt at that when some man said the Lord's coming back Saturday a week ago. And he had nationwide coverage, maybe worldwide coverage, predicting that Jesus is coming. Did that plant any doubt in your mind? Just a little doubt in your mind that maybe it's not going to happen. It didn't happen that day. Did that cause any doubt in your mind? On my way to work, the township has a police car that they sit at different spots along the road with nobody in it except the mannequin dressed up as a police officer. And on my first drive by, they move it around to different locations. And at first, it's like, whoa, there's a police. Slow down. Or you check your speed, make sure you're going right. Well, that car moves from place to place, and I know the car. It has one hubcap missing. And so I identify the car, and well, not a real guy in there. You probably know where this is going. Lo and behold, instead of the mannequin, they put a real person in to catch you off guard. Well, I didn't get caught, but that's why they do that. They put the car there to make you think and get you used to a police car being there, and then you realize it's a mannequin, and then they put a real police there to keep you on your toes. I use that example that Jesus will come one day. The Bible says he will come again as a thief in the night. No one knows the day nor the hour. But I believe Satan wants to destroy our trust in the Word of God. Another thing I think he wants to destroy is our purpose for living. He would love for each one of us to be wanderers, to have no purpose in living, to wander around aimlessly, to think all life is that you live and you die. He would love for us to turn to pleasure for temporary fulfillment, to turn to stuff that he puts in our way, to fill that God-shaped hole in our heart. Satan would love to steal that. The mirage of success, of what happens when we turn to stuff for happiness and fulfillment. You may recognize the name Boris Becker. He was a 6-time Wimbledon champion, the youngest ever to win Wimbledon in tennis. He won a gold medal, but he was a very empty man. In an interview, thoughts of suicide. Solomon is a testament of the emptiness. At the bottom, you'll be empty at the top. If you're empty going into searching for fulfillment, when you get to the top, you'll be just as empty. God has created us to worship, and that only Jesus will satisfy. But Satan is stealing something in our lives, purpose for living. The devil has a strategy and is very intentional about carrying out his plan. He's relentless in his pursuit of us. Relentless. 4 things he wants to steal. 4 of many. I just want to mention 4 of them. I used 2 a little earlier. I don't know if Satan has a top 10 list or not. You see a lot of top 10 things around today. 10 things about this, 10 things about that. I think one of the top 10 things Satan wants to steal from Christians is the joy of our salvation. Satan would love to steal the joy of our salvation. Remember the time when you were on fire for God. Remember when you first came to the Lord, how you were all excited about your walk with God. The Word of God, the people of God. I'm not saying you're not now, but just think back. Maybe you aren't there today. And you say, and use the excuse, I lost my passion. It's just not there anymore. I ask the question, where did it go? Who threw cold water on it? Turn with me to Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus. Verse 2, it says, I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, tried them which are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against you, because you have left your first love. I'll stop there. I believe Scripture teaches us that a thief has taken it. It just didn't lose your passion. The fire you had for God, you just didn't lose it. It just didn't simmer and die. I believe Scripture teaches that someone stole it. We've been robbed. We've been ripped off by the master thief who has snuck in and stole those hot embers. The fire we had for God, he has snuck in. And the master thief has replaced that with something just about as good. And then he takes that away and replaces it with something a little less. And he steals, he's out to kill, he's out to destroy. You may say, I was much younger then. That was when I first came to God. A lot has happened to me. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. I believe this is God's plan for our lives as Christians. But we all with open face behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord and are changed into his same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. God's plan for us is to grow from where we are to be more like Christ. It's a progression to grow closer and closer to God. And I believe if we've been cooled off or we say, just don't have the passion, just don't have what I used to have, someone robbed us. You've been robbed. You've been ripped off. There's no end to the power he wants to exhibit in your life. God has great plans for you. The Bible has no retirement plans. Second thing I think Satan wants to steal is your calling. Have you felt a call to serve something somewhere? Felt a call to teach? Felt a call to be involved with Bible schools, children's ministries, youth ministries, kids' clubs, prayer ministries, you name it. You felt God calling you. But after a while, something happened. Somebody let you down. Something went sour at church. Soon your dreams died. Where did it go? Now, I realize God calls us in different areas sometimes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about from passion to apathy. What happened? I believe the master thief has stolen something. The master thief has come into your life and stolen something. He has stolen something very precious and very personal. It's like coming into your bedroom and stealing something personal. God's calling your life. He's come and snatched it away, and you've lost your passion. He's robbed a blessing, a gift that God's given you. And he fills your lives with temporal things and stuff. Third thing I think he wants to steal, and yeah, this is just not in any, there could be many more, is I think he loves to steal home break-ins. He loves to come into our homes and into our marriages and steal that fire we have for one another as husband and wife. Why is there so many divorces in Christian homes, in Christian couples? Why is there much turmoil? What happened to the love you had in courtship? On the way to work, I go over a bridge that we took our wedding pictures on. And yesterday I went over that with over the bridge with my wife, and I said, there ain't a time I don't go over this bridge that I don't think about you. It's just a special place in our lives. But do you realize that each one of you who are married, Satan wants to destroy your marriage? Each one of you. He wants to draw you apart. He wants to steal the love you've had. And the reality is that it's a spiritual warfare. And it must be fought in the power of God. Only Christ can keep you together. Only Christ can keep you together and give you victory over the powers of Satan, over the plot of Satan to destroy. What about our children and grandchildren who were one time dedicated to God, but today are not walking with God? Someone stole their fire. Someone stole their passion for God. The thief is at work. I think the fourth thing that is pretty core to all these is Satan loves to steal our faith in God. Our total dependence in God for every circumstance in life. He wants to steal our faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Bring every situation to God in our lives. Bring everything to God. Satan loves to destroy our faith in him, our trust in him. Of knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Been involved in a number of anointings lately. and to see those who were being anointed commit themselves to God, knowing that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, putting themselves in the hand of God. I believe Satan, it's pretty close to the top of his list of what he wants to steal in our lives, is our faith in him. And faith and trust in a sovereign God who is able to do anything we ask or think. And we say we believe in God and that he answers prayers. But as Satan steals that from our lives don't match up to what we say we believe. And if he can get us to lose faith in God and begin to doubt his sufficiency of Christ, Satan begins to steal, kill, and destroy us. And Satan is stealing and robbing something that is very precious to us, is that our faith in God. We may not realize what's been happening, but we've been ripped off. We've been robbed by the master thief. I want to tell you a story from the Bible. It's not one we hear a lot of. In 1 Samuel 29 and 30, the story of David, is one of the low points in the roller coaster life of David, the young conqueror of the giant Goliath, who is now running from Saul for his life. He had many threats, many close calls. You know the story well. Many times where he could have been killed. But he's actually, at this moment, living with the Philistines for about a year, because he had nowhere else to hide in Israel. He had a band of about 600 men, plus wives and children, and they lived in a place called Ziklag. Well, lo and behold, the Philistines decided to go to war with Israel. And it puts David in a real crunch. What's he going to do? He's a warrior. He's a fighter. So he lines up with King Achish. While he was lined up, a Philistine general spots him and says, "Wait a minute. I recognize that man. He's that man who sang songs about Saul killed his thousands and I've killed 10,000. Well, just wait a minute. We are the 10,000 that he's killed, and he's in our army." He said, "We can't have this." So they talk among themselves. They said, "You got to leave." They send him back home to Ziklag. And as David and his men were returning home, on the horizon they see smoke. I've never had a fire in our house, but if you rounded the bend towards your house and saw smoke, I don't know what that must feel like, but it's not a very good feeling. As they arrived home, they realized they've been robbed. An army had come in, burned the city, took everything, their wives, their children, their animals. They took everything. Everything was gone. Imagine husbands and fathers, your wife gone, your children are gone, your animals are gone. They were so brokenhearted that it says they cried till they ran out of tears. They were devastated. David had lost everything. His family was gone. In a moment of deep human sorrow and emotion, turned to anger, and his men said, "What are we doing here? Why'd you bring us out here to fight for the Philistines anyway? We should have been home taking care of our family." And they said, "Let's stone David." And so David, at one of his lowest points, went to God. And I love these words in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It said, "But David found strength in the Lord his God." And as the bottom was falling out of his life, he went before God and poured out his heart to God. "What should I do? Should I chase down and try to find these men who destroyed our city and took our wives and children? What shall I do? He committed it to God. Will I find them if I do hunt for them? God said, go and you will find. He said, you will find everything. So they set off. And as they were crossing the desert, they come upon this Egyptian slave who was laying in the desert, dehydrated, malnourished. They fed him, and they got talking to him and said, yes, I was part of the Amalekites who destroyed your city, but I got sick and I got left behind. Pretty vulnerable position to have, be a part of an army who destroyed a city, and now those from the city are coming after you. They said, how about in exchange for your life, you tell us where the army is? He said, oh, that's fine. We'll do that. He told them where they were. They got to the ridge to where the Amalekites were. It says they were scattered all over the place, eating and drinking from the loot that they had stolen. David pounced, and they fought from sunrise until the evening of the next day. None got away except 400 men on camels. Now, in your mind, you're probably watching 400 young men jump on camels and say, let's go. We have a horse trainer, Nate, among us. Did you ever train a camel? I didn't think so. I don't know. We, in our mind, in our Western thinking mind, see a bunch of guys on horses just tearing out of there. But I can't quite picture 400 men jumping on camels and tearing out of there. But it says they did. 400 men got away on camels and took off. But it says David rescued everything that was taken from them. Everything, their wives, their children, and all the things they took from the city, plus a whole lot more. Everything that they had lost, they reclaimed. What a great victory. And it said the men shouted, David's plunder, David's plunder. The amazing victory God gave them, gave everything back that was taken. Why do I tell this little story from the Old Testament? David, when he was at his bottom, says he found comfort in the Lord his God. But we need to understand that when David and his men came to the point where they realized they'd been robbed, they'd been ripped off, they had a choice to make. They could have jumped up and said, I'm going to find these guys. I'm going to take care of these guys. But David went before the Lord and poured his heart out and said, God, what should I do? And God said, go in the name of the Lord. Not on their own strength. Not on their own strength. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers of darkness, the powers of darkness of this world, against principalities and spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. We are no match for the enemy alone. We fight a battle that is much bigger than us. We must go in the name of the Lord as David did. I think as we bring this home, I think all of us need to come to the point where we realize that in our lives, Satan is about stealing, killing, and destroying us. And some of the cooling of our fires, the lack of passion, is because Satan has come in as a thief and has stolen something precious from you. Something God has given you, a gift God has given you, and has stolen it, has replaced it with something else. I guess the question I need to ask myself is, what am I going to do about it? When I come to the place and realize, hey, wait a minute, Satan has stolen this. It just didn't cool off. Satan has stolen it. What am I going to do? I believe in the name of the Lord, we can reclaim the stolen property. We can go to God in the name of the Lord and say, God, I want it back. I want back what Satan has stolen from me. I want the fire back in my marriage. I want the zeal for the Lord back in my heart. Those children Satan has stolen from me, I want them back for the Lord. In the name of the Lord, we can go and God can restore what was taken from us. It's a spiritual warfare. Satan is relentless in his pursuit of us. He's relentless in the pursuit of you and me. I think it's time we as Christians say, it's enough, devil. It's enough. And be like David and go after the stolen goods in the name of the Lord. Our enemy has no sympathy for us. And if we don't resist, he'll rip you off every day, every week of your life. Jesus said, I am come that we may have life, have abundant life. You can recover your faith in God that the devil stole. You can recover that vibrant faith of childlike trust in the risen supernatural Christ. The kind of faith that changes you in the way you live, the way you talk, and the way you feel. Satan wants to snatch everything that is given to us by God. He wants to take it from us. And most of all, he wants to take your faith in God, because he knows Scripture, and he knows in Romans 1:17, it says, the righteous will live by faith. That's our lifeline to God, our faith in God. And he wants to steal your Bible, because he knows in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He wants to steal the Word of God from you and your trust in the Word of God. He knows that faith is our real lifeline to our relationship with Christ. And I think he wants to steal it from us. And if he can sever your faith and connection to God, he's begun that process of stealing, killing, and destroying. Because he knows that if we can live without faith and prayer as the driving force of our life, our zeal for God will soon be extinguished. And we'll be one of his. We'll just be gone through the motions, having an outward form of godliness, but experiencing nothing of God's power. Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You can reclaim that stolen property in the name of the Lord. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's bow our heads. I don't know where you're at this morning in your walk with God and in your spiritual walk. Maybe God is speaking to you about some area in your life that Satan, the enemy, has stolen. Maybe you realized something was wrong or something was missing, and now you realize you've been robbed. You've been ripped off by the master thief. And you, like David, want to come to God and say, Lord, I want it back. I want that zeal back for you. I want the love back in my marriage. You fill in the blank what Satan may have stolen. In the power of his name, you can reclaim stolen property. If you'd like prayer this morning, you want to slip your hand up. Remember you in prayer as we come to him. Yes. Yes, yes. See your hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word and the power of your name. And Lord, in Jesus' name this morning, we want to reclaim the loot that Satan has stolen from our lives. His warehouse of spiritual passion, of spiritual gifts, of destroyed lives, destroyed marriages, destroyed homes. Lord, this morning we stand against Satan in the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. We reclaim the stolen property, the years of wasted living. Lord, we bring them back to you. Lord, you can restore, you can rebuild and give back much more than we can ask or think. Thank you for who you are and what you want to do in our lives. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you anew and afresh today for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.